بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأهل بيته أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending peace and salutations upon His beloved messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Indeed, we have much to be thankful for. In fact, so much that we can never count everything that we should be thankful for, nor can we thank Him, Azza wa Jal, enough. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with so much, albeit in different ways. And sometimes we lose sight of these blessings, or we start taking blessings for granted. And we start comparing individual blessings, which leads us to head on the path of becoming ungrateful. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فِي الرِّزْقِ. Allah has given some of you preference over others in provision. So sometimes we may look at, or we may look towards others who may be wealthier than us, and we start thinking that we do not have enough, and we start wondering why we have less and why others have more than us, while overlooking all the other blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us that others may not have. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might have made someone rich or given someone better health, but we may have been blessed with a stronger intellect, we may have been blessed with peace of mind and different things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses some in some ways and others in other ways. So we should not be comparing individual blessings. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَتَمَنَّوا مَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. And wish not for the things in which Allah has made some of you to excel over others. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? And wish not for the things in which Allah has made some of you to excel over others. And we must remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fair and just. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, among His qualities, is that He is al-adl, that He is the most just. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never wrong a person or make a person suffer due to no fault of their own and then not reward that suffering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never make and put anyone at a disadvantage and then make that person suffer and not receive any rewards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not do that, because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed some with more wealth, others with less. Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed some with good health, others with not so great health. Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed some with bodies that function perfectly and properly, and others perhaps not as much. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given preference to some over others in particular blessings. But in the end, Allah is just and fair. So no human being will have an advantage, or no human being will be at a disadvantage simply by virtue of their God-given blessings or lack thereof, over which they have no control. So whatever we have been given by Allah, or whatever we have not been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will not give us an advantage or a disadvantage over others, because this is something that is not in our control. In the end, Allah is most just and most fair. One of the things we don't have control over is the design of our bodies and what is inside our bodies. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates some with bodies that appear to be perfect from the outside. They appear to be picture perfect even nowadays. So people will see pictures, even digitally altered pictures of people, and the way they look is not even true. Right, it's been changed, they've been made to look thinner, for example, for marketing purposes. The people look at these pictures and sometimes get enticed and feel that, okay, my body should be like this. This is the gold standard. This is what the world wants of me, So I will try to become like this image, which is not even a true image. It was a true image, which was changed, which was altered, to make it more appealing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may give us bodies, right, that appear to be perfect from the outside, but they may have weaknesses in the inside that may not be apparent. So, for example, someone's immune system perhaps may not be as strong. Others may have pain inside their bodies, which is not visible. From the outside, the body may look perfectly fine, but inside there may be pain. There may be a lack of strength, or weaknesses, or differences in brain function compared to what is the norm. So the point is that from the outside, a body, a person could look perfectly fine, but on the inside, they can have issues, they can have ailments which are not visible. Others may be perfect from the inside. So inside the body, it may be, everything may be perfectly fine, but the person may have some elements of weakness that are visible. So for example, a missing limb, or legs that are of different lengths, or bones with an irregular curve, and so on and so forth. Still, some others may have, you know, organs or parts of the body that appear to be perfect. So when you see a person, it may appear, okay, they have two eyes, you have two ears, but perhaps the functionality of these organs and these parts of the bodies may be at less than 100%. So for example, a person might be hearing impaired, or a person might be visibly impaired, even though when you look at them, it appears that they have two perfect eyes. Some are born like this by design by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Others may have been brought into this state afterwards through an illness, for example, or an accident. I have a cousin who at a young age lost use of both of his arms due to an illness, due to a disease. And, you know, at the time, well, I wasn't born at that time, but family members, and whenever something tragic like that happens, it's a very challenging, it's a very difficult time, especially for the parents. Because, of course, all the parents love their children. And the parents start wondering, okay, what is going to happen to my child now? What is the future for my child? How is my child going to function in this world without the use of both arms and hands? But subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of people. And my cousin learned how to write letters, right, using his toes. So instead of holding a pen, and this was before computers became popular, so instead of using his hands, which he couldn't use to write, he would use his toes to hold a pen and to write entire letters, which he wrote to my parents, to my mother and to my father, right? He can use his toes to pick up a spoon and to feed himself. And he ended up, subhanAllah, people think, who is going to want to marry my son in this state? SubhanAllah, he got married as well, mashaAllah, and has wonderful, beautiful children as well now, alhamdulillah. And he has job, work as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives people the ability to adapt and makes things easy for us as time goes on. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this to some people by design from birth, and others through illness or accidents, for example. Once the abilities of a person are affected in a major way, we start referring to such persons as to such people as persons with disabilities. Sometimes when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us in different ways or takes away a particular blessing, like in the example I just mentioned, it can be very challenging and can be very difficult, especially for family members, and as I mentioned, especially in the cases of children, for parents. But as believers, we know, we understand, and we believe, we take comfort in knowing that everything that happens, happens with the will and the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, with Him are the keys of the unseen. No one knows them but He does. He knows what is in the land and the sea. No leaf ever falls. We just came through the season where the leaves are falling. No leaf ever falls but that He knows, but that Allah knows about it. And there is no grain in the dark layers of the earth. No matter how deep you go into the earth, there is no grain in the dark layers of the earth, or anything fresh or dry that is not recorded in a manifest book. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has complete knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a complete understanding of everything that is happening and everything that happens to us. We must also remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not burden a soul with more than what it can bear. Right? Allah says in the Quran, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. Allah burdens not a person beyond his scope. Now, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us in different ways, Allah also tests us in different ways. Sometimes with wealth and health, sometimes meaning by giving that to a person, sometimes by taking it away, sometimes with pain, sometimes with suffering, illness, and sometimes through disabilities. But if a believer exerts patience and turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with patience, Allah gives glad tidings, where He says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And certainly we shall test you with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth, lives, meaning loss of life, loss of fruit, your crops, but give glad tidings to those who are patient. And afterwards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says further down, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ, that those are the ones upon whom there are blessings from their Lord and mercy as well, and those are the ones who are on the right path. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also told us, as we have discussed before, that whenever a Muslim is afflicted with a hardship, a sickness, a sadness, right? And this is very, very... This hadith has a very wide scope. This hadith has a very wide scope. So whenever a Muslim is afflicted with a hardship, right? So if you're having some sort of difficulties at home or at work, for example, or is afflicted with a sickness, a sadness, a worry, a harm, or depression, even a thorn's prick, Allah expiates his sins because of it. So the person who suffers the difficulty, the person who undergoes this difficulty, the disability, gets rewarded for patience. So the person who is patient, the person who is undergoing this disability, or is weathering this pain and this difficulty, that person gets rewarded for every single moment, every single second of their suffering. But also the caregivers, right? So the parents, for example, who may undergo worry and stress, inshallah, they will be rewarded as well. Again, as I said, this hadith is very broad in its scope. And even, you know, any stress that you may have, any worry that you may have, all of those will not go unrewarded, inshallah. So this is from the perspective of the person who is living, who is coping with a disability, and those who are taking care of him or her. Now, from the perspective of the community of Muslims and the community of human beings, we have a responsibility for supporting one another. The Prophet ﷺ has told us that the believers are like one body, right? So one part of the body suffers, the entire body suffers as well. And whenever there are those who are in difficulty because of a test from Allah Azza wa Jal, or because of difficult circumstances, or simply because of Allah having blessed them with some gifts and not other gifts, we have a responsibility to help. The famous hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhum ar-Rahman, irhamu man fil ard, yarhamkum man fil sama'. Those who show mercy to others, the Rahman, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will show mercy to them. So show mercy to those in the earth, the dwellers of the earth, and the one in the heaven will show mercy to you, inshallah. So as the people of mercy, we must show love and concern to help one another. Just as we help those who may be in need of food or money or have other needs, we also have a responsibility similarly to stand up and help those with disabilities and special needs. There are laws in place, right? So the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, was tabled by the United Nations to make sure that persons and people with disabilities can fully participate in community life with dignity and respect across the world, something which unfortunately is not a reality everywhere. But even though we have these laws, We shouldn't need laws to force us, to compel us, to make our facilities, our programs accessible, but more importantly, our attitudes. Our attitudes open to welcoming those persons with disabilities. We must be careful not to stigmatize people, right, or sideline people who have disabilities, or treat them as outcasts, something that is common in many cultures, or be afraid of them, or be rude towards them, and especially towards children. Because sometimes if a child has a disability, perhaps a psychological, a mental disability, sometimes their behavior may not be as good as we expect it to be, right? And they may do things that we consider inappropriate in a particular setting. So be understanding towards that, right? Don't be harsh on the child. It's not the child's fault. Be understanding, be considerate towards that person, that child, and his parents or her parents. During the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and even afterwards, there were persons with disabilities who were active members of the community. And neither did they feel ashamed or despondent in trying their best to excel, so they didn't feel that their disability was something that could hold them back. Right? They continued to excel, they continued to try to do the best that they could. Nor did society, directly or indirectly, put barriers around them or make life difficult for them. In fact, many of these people excelled despite their disabilities. One of the most famous, whose story is referred to in the Quran, was the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdullah ibn Maktum. And we know, you know, many times when you're trying to focus on a task, we don't like being disturbed or interrupted when we are on a phone call or an important meeting, right? If you're working from home, for example, and there's an important conference call, you don't want to be disturbed. No matter what happens, unless the house is on fire, you don't want anyone coming and disturbing you when you're in that important meeting or an interview, for example. So the Prophet ﷺ was speaking to leaders of the Quraysh, to some leaders of the Quraysh tribe who had not accepted Islam, and he was discussing with them matters of belief. And this was a rare opportunity for him to talk to them face to face, one on one, about Islam and about the beliefs of Muslims. And while he was having this important discussion, Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu, who happened to be visually impaired, who happened to be blind, came and bursted into this circle of discussion that was going on. And according to commentators, he repeatedly asked for enlightenment about a particular question. He had a question that he wanted to know more about, related to Islam, of course, in the Quran, and he wanted to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he came and he burst into this setting where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was having this important discussion, and he repeatedly asked for an answer to his particular question. Now, in the mind of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was likely going through with that was that this was a rare opportunity to educate these leaders of the Quraysh, which was more important. And the question of Abdullah radiallahu anhu could wait a bit. Right? It was, if he had a question, he could wait a few minutes, he could wait a little while, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would address his question. So as a reaction, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam frowned. He frowned and he turned away from Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu. And upon this, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back, Surah Abbas was revealed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Abasa wa tawalla an ja'ahu al-a'ma," that he frowned and turned away. And some of the commentators said that even out of the respect of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say, "You frowned and you turned away." But he was a third person. He said, "He frowned and turned away because the blind man came unto him." So this was revealed to show Allah's dislike for this attitude, and to give an example and direction for the future for all of us, for the entire ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for all of humanity, on how we should be dealing with persons with disabilities. And after that, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would address him with words of humility, and he would say, this is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressing Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu and saying, "Welcome unto him on whose account my sustainer has rebuked me. Welcome unto him on whose account my sustainer has rebuked me." And Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu was a muadhin as well, would give adhan at times. And in fact, the Prophet ﷺ made him responsible for the city of Medina while the Prophet ﷺ went for Fath Makkah, for the when the Muslims conquered Makkah al-Mukarramah. So despite the visual impairment, despite the fact that he was blind, the Prophet ﷺ did not hesitate in making Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu responsible for the city while he was away. There were others as well. So for example, Amr ibn Jumu'ah radiallahu anhu, he walked with a limp. And he wanted to take part in a battle in which the Muslims were defending themselves against the polytheists, the mushrikun of Mecca. But his sons told him to stay at home. Because the father was aged, he walked with a limp. He thought he would have difficulty. So they recommended to him that he should stay home, especially because he was excused due to his age and disability. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لَيْسَ عَلَى الضُّعَفَاءِ وَلَا عَلَى الْمَرْضَى وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ مَا يُنْفِقُونَ حَرَجٌ, that there is no blame on the weak or on the sick or on those who have nothing to spend when it comes time to defending Islam, and especially at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Muslims were a minority and they had to fight to defend themselves. So he was excused. He was excused from taking part in that campaign, yet he insisted on going to battle, saying, I hope to walk in paradise on my lame foot. I hope to walk in paradise on my lame foot. And the Prophet ﷺ told his sons, he said, let him be, for he is a man who seeks martyrdom, who seeks shahada. And he was allowed to go, and it is said that he could be seen on the battlefield in the front, on the front lines, you know, limping on his foot. Subhanallah. Atta ibn Abi Rabah was a prominent tabi'i, right? One of those who came after the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, those who didn't get to meet the Prophet ﷺ but came immediately after him. He was a mufassir, a commentator of the Qur'an, a transmitter of hadith, a faqih, and a mufti of Mecca, a very well-known mufti of Mecca. And it was said that he was one-eyed, so only one eye would function. He was paralyzed partially, and he was lame as well. Yet that did not stop him, and that people did not stop him from becoming one of the most knowledgeable scholars in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And I read this, the following hadith before, but now that I understand his situation, I understand better the context of this hadith. He says that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said to me, أَلَا أُرِيكَ امْرَأَةً مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, that shall I show you a woman of the people of paradise? So he says that I said, بَلَا, yes. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu told him of a lady who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, I get attacks of epilepsy and my body becomes uncovered. So please invoke Allah for me. Please make a supplication for me. Please make dua for me. So she had this ailment, she had this illness, this type of disability, and she wanted to be cured of that. So the Prophet ﷺ said to her, إِن شِئْتِ صَبَرْتِ وَلَكِ الْجَنَّةِ وَإِن شِئْتِ دَعَوْتُ اللَّهَ أَن يُعَافِيَكِ, that if you wish, be patient, and you will enter paradise. And if you wish, I will invoke Allah, I will make dua to Allah to cure you. So what does she choose? She says, I will remain patient. I will remain patient. I want Jannah, right? If you're telling me that because of my disability and this illness and this suffering that I have to go through that I will get into Jannah, then that's fine. I'll bear it for the rest of my life. I'll bear it for a few years. But she added, you know, I become uncovered when this happens, so please invoke Allah for me that I may not become uncovered. So the Prophet ﷺ invoked Allah, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for her in this regard. So today, alhamdulillah, we find greater opportunities for persons with disabilities. When I was studying journalism back in 2004, the editor-in-chief of CBC came to speak to our class. And one of the discussions that we were having was about the role, about having minorities play a greater role on the air. So for example, having more visible minorities on the TV and so on. And this discussion went on to the persons with disabilities as well, because you know they are a minority as well. And just the other day I was watching the news and I saw a reporter on CBC who was in a wheelchair. Right? There was a reporter on TV who was reporting live from a place, and that person was on a wheelchair. So we see that progress has been made. The Lieutenant Governor of Ontario is someone who rides in a wheelchair. The former mayor of Vancouver was also someone who was confined to a wheelchair. So we see that things, it's become more acceptable, society has become more and more inclusive, and having a disability is not a barrier for people in terms of progress and success. Even in the Muslim community, we find now, and we had in the past as well, you know, people, huffaz, who had memorized the Qur'an, who were completely blind. Right? So people, huffaz of the Qur'an, who were completely blind. And they memorized the Qur'an, not only memorized the Qur'an, but they would teach the Qur'an as well, while they were totally blind. And we even find this nowadays. Alhamdulillah, copies of the Qur'an have come out in Braille, so that those who are visually impaired can recite the Qur'an through Braille. There's actually an Islamic seminary in South Africa, especially for the blind, right? Specifically designed for those who are visually impaired so that they can go and attain the knowledge of Islam. We are starting to see, for example, at Islamic conferences, we are seeing sign language interpreters who are, you know, translating the whatever lectures are going on into sign language so that those who are hearing impaired can follow and can understand. And even in the Haramain, in Makkah al-Mukarramah and Medina al-Munawwara, in the two holy masajid, the two holy mosques, we find that there are special facilities, special rooms that have been designed for those who are disabled, persons with disabilities who may need help, who may need, for example, sign language translation or interpretation or Quran in Braille or other facilities for them, especially marked rooms for them so that they can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in peace. December 2nd marks the annual observance of the International Day of Persons with Disabilities, as declared by the UN in 1982, and the Canadian Association of Muslims with Disabilities, as well as the group Muslims with Disabilities International, have asked imams, have asked masajid to take part in this campaign to raise awareness and to explore how we as a community can improve the situation for those who may have disabilities in our communities. So we must also encourage the involvement of such persons within our community. So look beyond the disability of the person, right? Don't refer to a person as, oh, the person who comes on a wheelchair, or the person who, you know, who uses a guide dog, or a person who, you know, uses crutches, for example, right? Use something that refers to them in a more positive way. So focus on the person and not their disability, and give them opportunities to take part, to involve them in our communities, in our activities, and allow them to reach their full potential. And especially if you are an employer, or you are a teacher, or you are dealing, or you have some sort of authority, and you are dealing with persons with disabilities, make an extra effort so that they can get the services and the opportunities that they deserve. And as a community, we must try to find ways to help these unique challenges that are faced, especially by Muslims who are going through these challenges. You know, the deaf have little access to learning and experiencing Islam. The blind have limited opportunities to learn how to read the Qur'an in Arabic Braille. Alhamdulillah, our masjid is accessible in terms of wheelchair access, but there are still a number of masajid and places of worship that are not accessible, and they need to be actually by law. And we don't have really any long-term strategies on how to deal with these and how to help people. So starting for myself, inshallah, and the education committee, inshallah, we will be taking out time, and personally I will, inshallah, sometime every week, hopefully, and we can ask for volunteers as well and set up programs, or at least a time when we can attend to the needs of especially children who are in our community, who may have disabilities, who may have difficulty in learning, and perhaps do not fit into our regular Islamic school classes. Inshallah, we will take the time and the initiative to make an effort to give them the support and the knowledge that they need, inshallah. Try to invite such people. If you come across someone, and try to invite them to your home. So promote inclusiveness. And especially with children, again, please, be patient. If a child is acting unruly, if a child is acting in a way that you think is inappropriate in the masjid or in your home or somewhere else, please be patient, because this child may have a type of illness or some sort of disability. So be patient and be understanding. And finally, let's ensure that we act responsibly. So something very, very basic, which I mentioned before, that when we come in, let's try to put all our shoes on the shelves. So that if there's someone who's coming on a wheelchair or some other device and needs access into the prayer hall, that their access is not impeded by shoes that have been left carelessly in the middle of the walkway. So please take note of that. Try to tell your children as well. Children often come for classes and just leave their bags or books and shoes, you know, in the middle. Try to remind them of that as well. And parking as well. So we have, as an accessible facility, we have access ramps to from the parking lot to come into the building. Please make sure that when you park that you're not blocking these access ramps. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to appreciate all members of our community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give those who are suffering from disabilities or who are facing challenges, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them and their families the strength to deal with these challenges. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them for all of their suffering. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our community and make this world a place where they are welcomed and are given the opportunities to succeed. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.